If the Titans are going to get to where they want to go and become Super Bowl contenders, they need their young players to follow Jeffrey Simmons' superstar arc. What is the superstar arc and how does Jeffrey Simmons fit it? And how can he be the example for the young players? We're breaking it all down today on the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me as always, the managing editor at TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, today we got a fun topic. We're diving into a little bit of a narrative story, a little bit about how Jeffrey Simmons can influence and set the example for the young players on the Titans who have what we believe to be is superstar potential. We're going to look back on Jeffrey Simmons' career, how he fits into what I'm calling the superstar arc, and really how the younger Titans players that need to step up can do so and take this team into contender status. How's it going today, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. I think this is a very timely topic because Jeffrey Simmons just signed a 3-year, $105.8 million? It was a very random number. $105.8 million extension, making him the highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history. The Titans need more Jeffrey Simmons, so we're going to talk about how Jeffrey Simmons became Jeffrey Simmons and how guys like Cam Ward, you know, Carnell Tate, and the young studs on this roster can become superstar players for the Titans in similar fashion. Because if they do that, Titans are winning the AFC South. They're competing for playoff spots. They're become AFC legitimate contenders. They need a couple more Jeffrey Simmons. So how did Jeffrey Simmons become Jeffrey Simmons?
Right. And I also think it's a bit of a cautionary tale to fans and the idea of like expectations. Where does disappointment come from? Comes from having too high of expectations. I'm getting ahead of myself, Justin. Let's just dive into it. We're going to start with what I call the superstar arc and how Jeffrey Simmons fits. So first of all, this is something that I've identified as a big time sports media thing. Athletes go through this in every single sport at every single level. And I think it's important to frame what Jeffrey Simmons has gone through this lens. It starts with the hope, the hype, the expectations when the player is selected as this guy is the potential savior of our franchise or potential massive impact player that we just stole with this draft pick or this acquisition of some kind, which leads to fans setting high expectations for said player to come in and meet. It leads to a lot of hope. And when the player maybe doesn't hit those expectations right away, then the fan perception and the media perception kind of starts to turn around on this player. They say it all the time. We build them up so we can tear them down, right? When they don't meet these massively high expectations quick enough, then we start tearing the player down. It leads to vitriol and hatred from the fan base. This guy's overrated. Trade him. We don't need him. We're going to rebuild without him. And then for players that actually achieve superstar status, they push through this early hate, this early failure to meet expectations, and come out on the other side a true superstar. And I believe Jeffrey Simmons' arc in the NFL fits this almost exactly. So if we take this back to the beginning, Jeffrey Simmons drafted 19th overall in the 2019 NFL draft, coming off a torn ACL. It was billed to Titans fans as this guy is a potential steal. He would have been a top 10 pick if he was fully healthy. He did have the off-field issue where he got into a physical altercation with a woman who was harassing his sister. And that murkied the waters a little bit on Simmons' early career. Finally makes his debut early in his rookie season, sacks Phillip Rivers of the Chargers for his first career sack, shows some of the potential and the promise, and I think it was at that point that expectations went through the roof of, wow, we really did get a steal. How did this guy last all the way to us in the draft? This guy is going to be the best defensive tackle in football. Those expectations were set very early on.
And that was the draft. Was that the one in Nashville? I think it was, where they took Simmons 19th overall. They get A.J. Brown later in that draft, David Long, I think Amani Hooker, and Nate Davis. Like that, like the one of the greatest draft classes in Titans history, a foundational one for A.J. Brown, or what should have been foundational to last even longer than it did due to the, you know, obviously the AJ Brown disaster. But nonetheless, I remember studying that draft very closely, as I am known to do. And I was infatuated with Jeffrey Simmons as a prospect. I mean, who wasn't? Not, I'm certainly not patting myself on the back. You can't ding me because I'm not patting myself on the back. But watching Jeffrey Simmons throughout that pre-draft process is like, oh my Lord, watching tape, watching him play three tech at Mississippi State going, Jesus, like this guy is just a dominant superstar pass rusher. And I think if I'm remembering my pre-draft grades correctly, my big board, even though he had the injury, I tried not to take it into account too much. I think I had him like 7th or 8th overall in that draft, and I might have had him like 5th before the injury. His tape was just such a pleasure to watch. If I remember correctly, I especially can't pat myself on the back because I want to say when John Robinson drafted him, he joked like my 11-year-old daughter could watch the Jeffrey Simmons tape and be like, oh, he looks pretty good. Like, it just really was that straightforward. So when the Titans took him at number 19 because he had the ACL, remember, it didn't happen during the season. It happened during pre-draft training, right? So it was a later injury that really threatened to hurt and derail his rookie season. That's why he slid like about, you know, roughly 10 picks later than he should have. And we immediately thought, okay, the Titans got themselves a steal at number 19 overall. They just got to be patient, wait for him to get healthy. And, you know, lo and behold, it didn't take long for them to feel like, yeah, we've got something, you know, pretty special here. But as you noted, and we're going to talk about, it does get complicated. It got complicated at some points. It wasn't exactly, you know, to the moon right away.
So Jeffrey Simmons finished his rookie year with just 2 sacks, came back his second year, had 3 sacks. And really broke out in 2021 when the Titans finished that season with the first overall seed, finished that year with 8.5 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. I remember the 3-sack game against the Rams on prime time. That was incredible. He had a 3-sack game in the playoffs that year against the Bengals when the Titans lost to the Bengals despite, 9 sacks as a team. And heading out of the 2021 season, even though the Titans had a playoff disappointment, it was like, Jeffrey Simmons is that dude. He's made it. This is who we expected. Our expectations are going even higher now. He's going to take another step next year. He's going to become the best defensive tackle in football. He's up there with Aaron Donald and Chris Jones. This is where we were at as a fan base on Jeffrey Simmons after 2021. But the next 3 seasons, each season saw a decline in production that made us feel like maybe we were hoodwinked. Maybe he already peaked. 2022 season, we remember how that went down the stretch. Terrible end of the year. The Titans lose 8 straight games to close the season, I think, something like that. Finished the year with 7.5 sacks, which is a good season, but one less than the previous year, and only played 15 games. Injury issues start popping up. 2023, only plays 12 games. The season is a downright disaster. The Titans don't do well down the stretch. They're out of playoff contention in December, and Jeffrey Simmons gets shut down for the year, finished the year with 5.5 sacks. That season, Mike Vrabel ends up getting fired. You know Jeffrey Simmons loved Mike Vrabel. He's spoken about how much he loved Mike Vrabel. And I think it was then that the hate kind of started to reach an all-time high. It was like, man, this guy was supposed to be the best defensive tackle in football. 5-sack year, only playing 12 games. This isn't going to cut it. The media is going on about how he's not reaching the potential that we had hoped he would reach. And he even starts feuding with Buck Rising live on the air outside Titans training camp. If you don't remember, I'll refresh your memory. Here's the clip of Jeffrey Simmons with Buck Rising.
Well, Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whatever you want to talk. Jeff, we'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now. I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got to make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, if you want to sit down and talk about this, we can talk about this.
I'm telling you, stop talking on social media. Talk to me.
I'm talking to you right here. Jeff, we tried to talk to you last week. I'm being rude to Roger. We'll deal with you later.
The smile on Lucas's face there. Talk about putting Roger McCreary in an awkward position. I want to talk about those follow-up seasons to the 2021 breakout year, because as we've noted, you know, there's more context we're going to get into, but certainly they weren't straightforward.
No, and I think the hate was reaching an all-time high at this point. It didn't stop, though. 2024 also felt like the year that maybe if Jeffrey Simmons was ever going to get traded, it was that year. But we're going to hit more on that and how Simmons pushed through to superstardom after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everyone. So Jeffrey Simmons, heading into 2024, hate was reaching an all-time high. 2021, great year. 2022, 2023, not so great. Justin, your thoughts on those seasons?
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I do want to say like 2022 was pretty good individually. It just wasn't quite as good as 2021. And obviously we had, you know, is he going to be Aaron Donald after 2021? Like, I think we had really high expectations, and 2022 was good, but it wasn't quite as good. And then 2023, to me, is when the cliff really started to appear. Like, that's when the injury issues started to become annoying. He has the like 5-sack season or whatever it was. Comes back in 2024. Again, those 2 years felt very similar, both 23 and 24. It's clear that he's hurt. He's missed a couple games. He's playing through something. The sack totals are essentially identical, 5 and 5.5. You know, there's the Buck Rising thing. Even Paul Kuharski, if I recall correctly, was always kind of, you know, Jeffrey Simmons hasn't met my expectations, was kind of the direction his opinion was trending in, both from an on and off field perspective. You know, people would question his on field play, the injuries, his leadership. Like, there was a lot to ask, especially after the Buck Rising viral thing, a lot of questions to ask about Jeffrey Simmons. So for me, you know, those 2 years specifically, 2023 and 2024, were fairly rough. Whereas I think 2022 was like decent, but really the cliff started appearing in 2023, and they start losing football games. He's hurt. That's when you really start asking the question, should they trade him and rebuild, and they can get a first round pick for him? I mean, there were articles written out there that said they should absolutely trade him if they can get a first round pick back for him. Especially, you know, Mike Borgonzi comes in, new general manager. It's clear they're rebuilding from the Brian Callahan debacle. Maybe you just trade this guy and get a pick, but, you know, thankfully that's not the direction they went in.
In 2024, I mean, while the sack numbers were similar to 2023, he went from 5.5 to 5. He actually played 16 games in 2024, yeah, where he only played 12 in 2025. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it on a sacks per game level, it was a big step back. And obviously that was Brian Callahan's first year. The team was a disaster. They only win 3 games. Then you enter 2025, similar situation with the coaching staff. Fan base kind of more or less over Jeffrey Simmons, also disengaged coming off a 3-win season, excited about Cam Ward and the hope to turn things around a la CJ Stroud and Jaden Daniels. Of course, it wasn't to be, but Jeffrey Simmons comes into the 2025 year with a reset mindset, a redefined body makeup, body fat, and muscle makeup. He dropped 20 pounds heading into last season so he could be quicker, so he could be more, he could attack better against these offensive linemen, get in the backfield, create havoc. He made it a personal mission, I feel like, to be his best self last year, knowing that the team around him wasn't going to be that good, but knowing that he had to take on a bigger leadership role, because slogging through a 3-14 season is miserable for these players, especially guys like Simmons, who want to compete at the highest level and who have tasted what that feels like to be in the AFC Championship, to get the number one seed early in his career, and to have survived the last few seasons trending completely in the wrong direction. I feel like Simmons really took it on himself heading into last year to be more of a vocal leader, to set a better example, and to put his best play forward on every single snap. And we all saw how that worked out for him. He had more or less a breakout season, his best season since that 2021 year, 11 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, played in 15 games, but felt like the injury bug or whatever issues had been plaguing him, felt like he put those behind him with a healthier body composition and really had the superstar season. First team All-Pro, back to the Pro Bowl, which he had missed in 2024, and then obviously the mega extension that started this whole conversation. So going into 2026, now with Robert Saleh coming in to coach this defense, I think the expectations are back as high as they've ever been for Jeffrey Simmons. He's completely pushed through the hate and the "we should trade him" narrative that had started amongst the Titans fan base into "this guy is our franchise. We'd be lost without him. We'd have no hope to contend. Our defense would be the worst in the league." Like, the perception of where Jeffrey Simmons was 2 years ago to where he is right now, I don't think could be more polar opposites. And that, to me, is pushing through that hate to achieve superstar status. Now, I have said this before and I'll say it again. Like, I don't know how much of a true superstar he is to the average NFL fan playing in a smaller market in Tennessee on a team that has been downright terrible for 2 years in a row. But with the Robert Saleh aspect coming in, if he has another year like last year, or like we were talking about the other day, if he goes off for 12, 13, 15 sacks from the interior of a defensive line position, then he will really be a national superstar. But I think the Pro Bowl selections, the four Pro Bowl selections he has to his resume, the contract, the All-Pro nod he got last year, all point to a guy that is breaking through into superstar. And I think that it's really admirable seeing what he has overcome from an adversity standpoint, from what he had to put up with from Titans fans, to the attitude shift. I think he no longer fights with Titans reporters on social media or outside training camp. He has taken it on himself to be a leader on and off the field. I think we've seen the transformation, and Titans fans everywhere have, I think, the utmost respect for who Jeffrey Simmons has become and what he means to this football team.
I do want to add, to be fair, like, we talk about the hate from fans, like, some of it was deserved, right? Like, when you're underperforming and doing nonsense, like fighting with the media live on the air, like, some of it was deserved. Jeffrey Simmons brought a lot of that narrative onto himself through his actions, both on and off the field, right? But as you mentioned, pushing through, the superstar thing's an interesting topic, because I feel like most people know how good Jeffrey Simmons is. And I think there is a strong social media narrative among, like, the footballing nerds, you know, the Mina Kimes of the world, the Ben Solaks, the Jordan Reeds, like Derek Klassen, like Nate Tice, like all these people. I think they do a great job talking about how good Jeffrey Simmons is, and they all have huge audiences. So they educate their audience on how special he is, and the coaches, the executives, when you see these stories, the polls on ESPN and The Athletic, Jeffrey Simmons is frequently mentioned. So I think that part of the NFL community does a great job making sure Jeffrey Simmons gets his flowers. But I will say, playing in Nashville, the small market, the lack of success, those things don't help. And there's also, I always say this, he's also a defensive player. The average NFL fan, or some of the lesser, you know, smaller NFL fans, are fantasy football savants. They like football because they play fantasy, and you don't draft Jeffrey Simmons or defensive players in your fantasy draft. Everyone you know is a wide receiver, a quarterback, running back, a tight end. So I think all defensive players suffer from that to a degree, But certainly when you're playing in this market, you don't win many games. There's another layer added to that. I'll end this segment on this. Like, this past season is so interesting, and it really does put a spotlight on his mentality, his approach, and how much that changed. Because that first year under Denard Wilson, Brian Callahan, as you noted, wasn't very good. Like, he was actually healthier than he was the year before, but the sack numbers were still, you know, kind of dipped and were low. So it's interesting that he comes back in the same defense under the same coordinator, Denard Wilson. I don't think, you know, you always tweak things, but they didn't make drastic changes to the scheme. But he's able to come back in a system that he just underachieved in and puts together the best year of his career. 11 sacks, first All-Pro nod, fourth Pro Bowl visit, although he hadn't had one the previous year, as you mentioned. So really, why he put it all together this past year, it's more about Jeffrey Simmons, right, than it was about anyone else. And you love seeing a guy kind of seize that opportunity and take the bull by its horns.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we can safely say he is a Nashville superstar. He is right on the cusp of NFL superstar. And another year that looks anything like last year or better under Robert Saleh, which, like, I don't know about you, but I am kind of expecting, and maybe this is a dangerous game, the expectation game, I'm expecting him to go for double-digit sacks again and maybe even surpass the 11 he had last season as the Titans' entire defense takes a massive step forward. I expect him to be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know that he's going to win it. I still think 100-1 odds for him to win it are absolutely bonkers. But I think that Jeffrey Simmons is far and away obviously the best player on the Tennessee Titans. And what he's done in his career really sets an example and lays out a blueprint that some of the younger stars on the Titans should try to follow, maybe without some of the missteps, learn from his mistakes as much as they can learn from his successes. And we're going to talk about those guys and how they can learn from Simmons right after this second break. Welcome back, everyone. All right, Justin, so we talked about Jeffrey Simmons, the superstar arc. I think his missteps are just as informative as his successes. But how can Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, Peter Skoronski, Cedric Gray, all these potential stars, Kevin Winston Jr., can we throw Marcus Harris in there? These guys on the, both sides of the ball that have shown flashes or have been highly rated prospects in Carnell Tate's case, how can they come in and achieve superstar status themselves and turn this Titans team from one of the worst in the league to a true contender? I think number one, first and foremost, is looking at where Simmons went wrong and understanding what not to do, as well as what changed when things went right. And I think we can confidently sit here and say, when it comes to approach to the game, mindset, taking care of your body, and taking care of you know, like being all in, invested in football, when it comes to a guy like Cam Ward, I have zero reservations about how he's approaching the game. He dropped 10 pounds coming into this offseason. He's all ball all the time, calling Coach Tierney like a week after they start working together about adjustments he wants to make. I think these little lessons that Jeffrey Simmons has laid the table on really set the foundation for what these other guys can do, and we're seeing already some of that taking place.
Yeah, I think Cam Ward's obviously the most interesting topic in this conversation when we look ahead and say who can follow the superstar arc, if you will. The reason he... You know, besides the obvious reasons that he comes to mind for, there's a little bit of hate. Like, there are a portion of Titans fans that don't think his rookie season was good enough. They think he's going to be a bust. Like, I think those people are kind of nuts, to be quite frank with you. But they exist, right? So it's all about, you know, kind of weathering the storm, overcoming that adversity, and proving people wrong, just like Jeffrey Simmons has. And you hit the nail on the head. Cam Ward's got the right mindset. I don't worry that he's going to fight Buck Rising at practice. You know, I will say to let Simmons off the hook a little bit, the injuries probably played a big role, you know, in the sort of the downfall of the early downfall of Simmons. And I don't think it was because he wasn't taking care of himself, approaching. He plays a very physical position and he plays a very physical brand of football. So I think you can file that under those things happen. Whereas when it comes to Cam Ward, you know, you do the playing quarterback, it's a different ball game. You take good care of your body. You just mentioned sort of the transformation, the body fat composition that he underwent, the transformation that he underwent this offseason. But it's also going to be you know, taking care of protecting yourself when you run the ball, right? Like, he started running the ball a bit more last season. He got hurt on a play where he ran for a touchdown. He has the shoulder injury that scared us for a while there, and we believe he's gone past now. But you got to protect yourself. You know, Brian Daboll likes to run quarterbacks with the New York Giants. So if we're taking that into account, and maybe Cam Ward runs a bit more than he did last year, or is more in line with the second half season version we saw that was a bit more willing to utilize his legs, then yeah, you've got to take care of your body, avoid the injuries. But I've got no question that Cam Ward's got the right mentality to follow the superstar arc and trend in the right direction.
Right. And when you talk about, you know, some of the hate that he has received, it is, again, based on expectations. When you're the number one pick in the draft, that comes with high expectations. And when we've sat here and watched football for long enough to see a guy like CJ Stroud come in and immediately make the Texans a playoff contender, Jaden Daniels come in and immediately takes the Commanders to the NFC Championship game, the expectations for Cam Ward were very high. Can he come in here and replicate the success of these other first-year highly picked rookie quarterbacks? Obviously, he couldn't do that, and the circumstances are what they are. We don't need to relitigate Brian Callahan being a terrible coach and the talent level and the fourth-round rookies he was throwing to or any of that stuff. But we can say he didn't live up to those expectations. Statistically, he didn't live up to anybody's expectations. And because of that, he's now facing what comes when you don't meet expectations, which is the other side, the hate side, the this guy's a bust, we overdrafted him, we should have traded with the Giants and taken Jackson Dart and all the nonsense that you hear. I think that aside from protecting his body, the other hugely important aspect here that Jeffrey Simmons has started to do now that he wasn't doing early in his career is block out the noise. Block out the noise. The expectations set by external factors, by fans and media and reporters, none of that stuff matters. And I actually think this is another really encouraging aspect of Cam Ward's mentality, is you've seen him go up at the podium and you've heard him say, like, we don't care what anybody else is saying. All we care about is what we're believing in this building. You hear him in the trailer for Netflix Quarterback season 3 that just dropped earlier this week, talking about how, like, the expectation is to win. So what are we doing? We don't need to celebrate. We expect to win. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition very often last season, but that's the right mentality, is like, We expect to be here. We don't care that the national pundits picked us to be the worst team in the NFL, which largely happened last year. We expect to win in this building, and that's all that matters to us. So I think blocking out the noise, taking care of yourself, and not worried about the outside expectations, just trying to be the best version of yourself and work hard to achieve that greatness that you believe you have inside you. That, I think, is the secret sauce here to achieving superstar status. Obviously, it takes talent and it takes a level of preparation, but it also just takes believing in yourself and not listening to the outside noise, which I think Jeffrey Simmons fell victim to early in his career.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think what's really encouraging here is Jeffrey Simmons had to learn this, and you could even say that he had to learn it the hard way, whereas Cam Ward just is who he is, right? Like, he's just built that way. Natural born leader who always holds himself to a higher standard than anybody else, right? So you don't got to tell Cam Ward to show up at 5:30 a.m. to the workout room facility, whatever. Like, that's just what he does. It's how he's wired. So I'm with you. Cam Ward certainly has the right approach and mindset to become a superstar, and maybe without some of the adversity in the middle, although there is the factor of, you know, sort of you didn't live up to expectations. And now, you know, for some people, they're already over it, which is outrageous. But they're blocking the noise is hopefully going to help them get there. And we do think there are a couple of other Titans players, probably won't spend as much time on, but some of the names you threw out there that are talented enough to develop into superstars. What's going to help determine whether or not they get there is some of the intangibles, right? It's the how you handle adversity, how you navigate challenges, staying healthy, how you navigate expectation, what that looks like in your eyes and the eyes of the building. But certainly guys like Carnell Tate and even, you know, some of the lesser known defenders, Kevin Winston, Cedric Gray, like those guys got a chance, I think, to become superstars at their respective positions. Obviously, the one people care about is Carnell Tate, who hasn't played an NFL game yet, but you'd love to pair a superstar quarterback with a superstar receiver.
Absolutely. And I think Carnell Tate being the number four pick comes with pretty high expectations, even if the chorus of voices were after he was picked were saying like, oh, that's higher than he should go or would go in any other draft. He's not a real wide receiver one. He never has been a wide receiver one. We did hear a lot of that. But at the same time, being picked fourth overall comes with high expectations. Sounds like the coaching staff in the front office, when they talk about Carnell Tate, are placing high expectations on him. For us, like, they are making us have high expectations for him because they are so glowing when they talk about him. There's another guy I want to touch on quickly who shares a very similar arc, at least at the beginning of his career, to Jeffrey Simmons, and that's Kevin Winston Jr., who's drafted coming off a torn ACL, comes in midway through his rookie season, would have been a first-round pick if he was healthy. We heard a lot of, just like we heard Jeffrey Simmons would have been a top 10 pick if he was healthy. He falls to the third round. The Titans grab him, starts halfway through his rookie year, shows some flashes, but some inconsistencies as well. And now you're hoping that his year two can be a launch pad into potential superstardom. So I think that there are multiple guys on this roster that if they have half the career that Jeffrey Simmons had, the Titans will be in a really good spot. And you just need one or two of those guys to really achieve true superstar status, because they say this a lot in this league, but you know, the regular season, a lot of wins and losses come down to scheme and coaching and preparation. But once you get to the playoffs, it's who's got the best superstars. It's your superstar against our superstar. And whoever is the better player a lot of time comes out on top. Obviously, there's still scheming and stuff involved. But once you make it to the playoffs, everybody's got a good scheme. Everybody's got good coaches and good preparation. Whose players are better? And so if the Titans want to make it to where they want to go, they need these guys to all follow in Jeffrey Simmons' footsteps while maybe skipping the middle steps. And not take, how many years into Jeff's career are we now? Is this his eighth season coming up? Like, maybe don't take 8 years to get there. Maybe take one or two or 3 years to get there, and the Titans will be back in the playoffs where we all want them to be.
Well, listen, and I don't know if there's a pod out there that has higher expectations for Kevin Winston than you or I do, because maybe we'll end up looking foolish, but I think the world of Kevin Winston's skill set, and I really do think he's going to become a mainstay at safety and a keynote player on this defense for years to come. I think you hit the nail on the head this episode. Jeffrey Simmons is a superstar for the Tennessee Titans. The Titans need a few more superstars to get where they want to go. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned, both good and bad, from the Jeffrey Simmons superstar arc. And guys like Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, Kevin Winston, you can throw in a Cedric Gray, a Marcus Harris, a Peter Skoronski, whatever you want. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from Jeffrey Simmons' arc, and hopefully he helps them navigate. Everyone faces challenges in the NFL. No one goes through life, even off-field, with, you know, finances and family. Like, no one goes through the NFL without having some level of stress and adversity, and hopefully Simmons can help them navigate that. The Titans need a few more superstar players. I don't mind if they've got a few more $105.8 million extensions coming down the pipeline 3, 4, 5 years from now. It is a good first world problem to have, one the Titans haven't had nearly enough of due to so many draft misses. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. A good look back to Jeffrey Simmons and the superstar arc, and a look ahead to how guys like Cam Ward and Carnell Tate can become superstars in their own right and get the Titans back to playoff and Super Bowl contention. We'll be back tomorrow with your Friday live stream, the MCA hangout sesh for the Audible Army and the Audible Army only. You got to be a diehard MCAer to join the live stream. 10:30 a.m. Central on YouTube, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Hanging out, taking your questions, answering, predictions, whatever you want to talk about in relation to the Titans. We will do it during tomorrow's Friday live stream.
The last one before mid-July, yes. The next three Fridays, we'll have episodes up, we think, but we will not be live those days. We're taking a little bit of a summer break here from the live stream. So make sure you're there tomorrow. Until then, y'all stay safe out there. And tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.